Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Showtime. How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Hey, good morning and welcome to another edition of Sports Daily. Happy Monday to you, everybody. It's Shane and Bruce and Chad Chambers back in the studio. Here on your station for sports, KFH, big weekend to look back on. We crowned a PGA championship, getting ready to crown an NBC World Series champion. One of the combatants, not surprising if you listened to this show last week. The Royals have gone streaking. They have won four in a row and a badly needed and well-deserved day off today. So they will go to Cincinnati after this, and we can talk about the off day and how you handle that in a pandemic as the Royals swept the Twins out of town, and the AL Central is tightening up and really considering that they've had to play 17 games against kind of the best teams in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
They've all got a winning record except for the Royals, and well, KC goes into that off day about as well as you could hope for, health-wise and everything else-wise. They won two close ones and won a bludgeoning over the weekend, so we'll talk about that in the second segment. But what's on tap is courtesy of Side Pockets out the corner of Kellogg and Tyler, Tyler Crossing. Side Pockets brings us what's on tap every single day, and a Monday lunch special is BLT sandwich or quarter-pound cheeseburger, both served with fries when you need to start thinking about your lunch. All right, Bruce, well, I know we, in essence, I know on the surface, regardless of what we think is really going to happen in sports, we're forced to let you know what is real. And what's real is the MAC, the Mid-America Conference, is the latest to cancel fall sports. And we'll talk about some ancillary stuff here in a little bit, but I'm going to guess that you weren't all that surprised, but no. I won't steal your thunder all the way, but the MAC has shut it down. Word is some other Power 5 conferences probably will fall in line, but I don't want to get too deep into the speculation and doom porn or fear mongering or whatever the phrase you want to call it. But
doom porn. I don't think I've ever heard that term before. That's
fear porn.
That one.
I heard fear porn and doom porn over the weekend on social media.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well. So what's next now that the MAC has not only announced non-conference games, all games for fall sports, nada.
I think over the course of the next 10 days that the Power 5 conferences will all fall in line with a similar strategy. The Big Ten had a unscheduled meeting of their administrative, their presidents, athletic directors, where this was reportedly actively discussed about acknowledging the possibility the probability of moving to the spring. Apparently, there was a an exploratory email sent out to the other leagues to see what their disposition was and how or whether they would fall in line. Certainly the Pac-12 and the Big Ten have been aligned in this thought process anyway. So I really think that at without getting into the doomsday porn, I really do think that this will be enacted across the board. And frankly, I think it's probably the right thing to do. You know, the MAC had to bite hard before they took that first step, and they were the first FBS conference to do so over the weekend. I got a feeling the Mountain West is very quick, is very soon to follow. And like I said, within the next week and a half, I do think that the Power Five will put it on hold. And I don't know, Shane, at the end of the day, it's a big deal. I get it. It's shocking to the system. I get it. But unless the first notion here is about making money, shouldn't it be about the safety of the players, the coaches, etc.? I'll leave everybody to answer that on their own. You can have your own opinion about it. But I think that this is the direction that we're going in, and that would be my best guess. And I say that because I'm in contact with athletic directors at various times at two Division I institutions, and actually three. And so I know at the very least this has been discussed. It is a notion that has momentum, and I think that probably we'll be dealing with this sometime here in the next week, next 10 days.
Trevor Lawrence, Clemson's quarterback, had a interesting series of tweets, and I'm not necessarily taking his side, but it's kind of enlightening. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Trevor Lawrence
sure
wants to play, and he's advocating on behalf of the players, talking about college football, to play a season. And his statements are compelling at the very least. He had at least a series of three tweets. This was yesterday. And I'll read a couple of them. They're designed to be in succession, so here we go. People are just as much, if not more, at risk if we don't play. Players will all be sent home to their own communities where social distancing is highly unlikely, and medical care and expenses will be placed on the families if they were to contract COVID-19. Not to mention the players coming from situations that are not good for them / their future and having to go back to that. Football is a safe haven for so many people. We are more likely to get the virus in everyday life than playing football. Having a season also incentivizes players being safe and taking all the right precautions. Da, 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 da.
Right.
So that's Trevor Lawrence's stance, and certainly his argument is just as valid as maybe anybody else's in this particular time. But there are so many, assuming we cancel / postpone fall sports, there are so many ancillary little stories and,
oh my God,
and agendas and,
yes,
you know, just pros and cons to all. And
sure,
I think Trevor Lawrence made pretty good, pretty compelling argument. I don't know if argument to play football is the right term, but at least a counterpoint somewhere, someone on the other side of this this doom and gloom that's over, this cloud that's over us for those of us that want college sports. And that's COVID-19 aside, okay? We understand that risk of the players and there's a Viking. Is there a Viking that needs heart surgery because of complications with COVID-19? I mean, there's all kinds of, you can go on both sides of the aisle right here, but all the way down the line. I mean, there's dozens and dozens of arguments for pro and con. But it's a very real possibility now, and now within the last half an hour or whatever, according to Dan Patrick, he says 12 of the 14 presidents in the Big Ten have voted against having a college football season, only Iowa and Nebraska voting to play. So these are very real cancellations, postponements of all fall sports after the MAC was the first one to jump into the line and bang all their fall sports. I think it was starting on Friday is when they did that. Friday, Saturday, something like that.
Saturday,
and,
right.
And did you know only FIU, Florida International, has its original 12-game football schedule intact? There's one.
I did not know that. That's interesting. Well,
and then there was
hail
one.
Hail FIU, dang it. Let's go.
Hang in there. What are they? The Golden Panthers or something?
Yeah, they are something golden. So maybe something gold can stay. So we'll see about that. Look, is it at the end of the day, I guess everyone will make the best decisions for their programs, their athletes, their people, their finances. I mean, I understand that there's a lot of things. I don't think the entertainment of America is probably high on that list. I don't, frankly, think that that's probably one of the contributing factors. I think everybody's trying to figure out a way more than anything to continue to make money in the model that they're used to. And I don't mean to sound cynical, but I think really that's the driving factor. And when you start to understand the importance of football, especially at the Power 5 level, to the coffers of the rest of the athletic departments and the funding of it, you begin to understand it. I mean, this is some serious business. But at the end of the day, Shane, I'll ask you the question. Is it really that big a deal? And I don't know all the moving parts, so I maybe don't even know the answer to the question that I'm about to ask. But do you think really at the end of the day we can survive with one spring season of football and then ramp back up for the fall, maybe push it back a little bit to give people time to recuperate, et cetera, have next season or the 2021 season, and then hopefully by 2022 you are percolating as quote-unquote normal? I mean, I don't know.
That's crazy. I don't know. And that's kind of what's been in the back of my head this whole time.
Sure.
Like, if we're going to postpone whatever it is, what threshold do we need to get to, according to who, in order to resume?
Right.
Like, who are we listening to? What what authorities are we going by?
Great question.
What guidelines are we following?
Yeah.
What right. numbers have to get to here before it's, hey, we got the all clear. Come on out. It's all good. Come on in. The water's fine. Like, that seems to me like it could be a very arbitrary number and a less than unanimous source. Because we got multiple sources if we want to pay attention to,
right?
You know, whether we think things are safe or not safe, or – you know, we got – I've never seen New Zealand trend as much as I saw over the weekend, too.
Sure.
And it's – I don't want to say we're grasping at straws here, but we kind of are. And I don't say that to be flippant, but just can't get out of our own way for the most part.
No.
I mean, Zach Plesak,
look at
a couple more Cardinals.
I mean, look at Sturgis.
Yeah.
Look at Sturgis over the weekend.
I know a guy that's at Sturgis right now. I know a guy that's
just
there. So, yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. It's unfortunate. It is disheartening to some degree that we can't collectively, and that this is the great thing about America, is that we do have the capacity at times of duress and challenge and adversity to band together. We've proven it countless times in our history. And for whatever reason, and I won't politicize it, but for whatever reason, and maybe I just did by saying that, we can't get on the same page in order to do what is best for all. There is no all-for-one, one-for-all mentality when it comes to this. So we are left to our own designs of, more than anything, weathering the full breadth of this storm. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to go from A to Z, and the only thing that's going to stop it at Z, it looks like to me, Shane, is a vaccine. I don't know enough about the science of the virus to think that, oh, it's just going to dissipate. Now, maybe it's not as virulent as it once was in some cases, but then you look at the number of people dying in this country every single day. That makes an argument against that point of view. But I really think it's going to take, at the end of the day, simply because we just can't get on the same page, it's going to take a vaccine. And that's going to take time, because you've got to do the trials, and you got to do the make sure that there's no side effects and things of that nature. And I'm speaking a little bit out of school, but I'm trying to pay attention to most of the science that's being talked about. So maybe it's by the end of this year, maybe it's by the new year, maybe it's a couple of months in. But I think that whatever the move back to normalcy, if and when it comes, it's going to be because we have a chemical safeguard against it. That's
bad. I don't want to go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole here too much, and we only got 2 minutes left in the segment, so maybe this is a perfect time to bring it up.
Sure.
But how much do you think has to do with COVID-19 scares and health, and how much do you think it has to do with, and maybe not necessarily presidents, but more so athletic directors of Power Fives, that are a little bit concerned that the student athlete has a voice and a platform unlike they've ever had in their entire being, and they are holding more cards now than they ever have before? And like I said, I don't want to steer this to a totally different direction, but do you think, it'd be foolish to say they haven't talked about that,
unionizing, or
at least banding together like they've never been able to before.
I think you bring up a good point. I think that that ship has sailed, and I think that the voice of the college athlete, particularly at the Power Five level, will be loud and persuasive from this point forward. Virus notwithstanding, I think that they have found a new impetus and a new confidence, and they understand that that they are the merchants of a billion-dollar industry, and it doesn't function without them. So there is strength in their position, and I do think that corral has been opened, and I don't think you get the door closed on that. I don't think just because football goes back to normal that the business of football, especially in college football, will go back to normal. I think that will be rewritten. I really do.
Although, let's make this other leap, that COVID-19 gets totally stomped out and eradicated, then the coaches and the ADs can feel more comfortable. It's like, oh, no, it's safe now. No. You don't get to unionize anymore. You don't get to give us a list of demands because you're not – your health's not at risk anymore. No. Screw that. You're on scholarship, and it's now back the way it was. Not that.
Well, we'll see. Oh. We'll see. I mean, when voices like Trevor Lawrence are speaking out, and when there is labor organization, which is starting to happen now across some, and not It's not a wide movement by any stretch of the imagination, but it's more than it was 6 months ago. Hell, it's more than it was 6 weeks ago. So we'll see. But I can't imagine players giving up the voice just because they get to go back to the way things were. I think that the way things were has been changed. I don't want to say irrevocably, but I do think that the way things are being done has changed. And I think that even after we get back to whatever we consider to be a more normal state of schedule, which I think will probably be in 2 years, 22, the fall of 22 for football, then I can't imagine moving forward without players having a stronger voice. Seems unlikely to me.
Strange days indeed.
Yes.
Strange days indeed.
Right.
And then absolutely. On the other side of the coin, you have a glut of sports on all at the same time. That just kind of hit
Unreal.
Me like a ton of bricks yesterday. It's like NASCAR, golf, a baseball game, a basketball game, and if you really wanted to hang in there, it was a WNBA basketball game is on all at the same time.
And hockey.
And hockey. Forgot about hockey.
And hockey.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So
it was unreal.
It's a weird time and a weird year, and we press on. And you talk about weird times. The Royals looked awful a week ago today, and now they're on a four-game winning streak as they head to Cincinnati.
I mean, are you kidding me?
They swept Minnesota right out of the K. They won again yesterday 4-2. A look at the numbers, three up and three down. What do you do on your day off during a pandemic? Because Zach Plesac showed us that there is a way to behave and a way not to, which we've gone over a myriad of times. The Indian pitcher went out in Chicago and got sent home by the Indians. And the Indians, according to most, one of the most vigilant teams and organizations when it comes to behaving during the pandemic, Plesac was sent home. So what do the Royals do, theoretically, on an off day? And how did they sweep the Twins? We'll talk about it when we come back. It's Shane and Bruce and Jad on a Monday Sports Daily. It's 9:23, and this is KFH.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.